नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्णा।
श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। सो श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 26। किंग पुरंजना गोज टू द फॉरेस्ट टू हंट। टेक्स्ट 5। आसुरिम वृत्तिम आश्रित्या घोरात्मा निरानुग्रह न्याहनन निशितैर बानैर बनेषु वनगोचरान। आसुरिं वृत्तिमाश्रित्या घोरात्मा निरनुग्रह न्याहनन निशितैर बानेषु वनगोचरा। आसुरिं वृत्तिमाश्रित्या घोरात्मा निरनुग्रह न्याहनन निशितैर बानैर वनेषु वनगोचरा। आसुरिं वृत्तिमाश्रित्या घोरात्मा निरनुग्रह न्याहनन निशितैर बानैर वनेषु वनगोचरा। आसुरिम डिमोनियक, वृत्तिम ऑक्युपेशन, आश्रित्या टेकिंग शेल्टर ऑफ, घोरा हॉरिबल, आत्मा कॉन्शियसनेस हार्ट, निरनुग्रह विदाउट मर्सी, नाहनत killed, nishitai by sharp, banai arrows, vaneshu in the forest, vanagocharan the forest animal. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When a man becomes too proud of his material possession, he tries to enjoy his senses in an unrestricted way, being influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. He is thus described as asurik or demoniac. When people are demoniac in spirit, they are not merciful towards the poor animals. Consequently, they maintain various animal slaughterhouses. This is technically called shuna or himsa, which means the killing of living beings. In Kali Yuga, due to the increase of the modes of passion and ignorance, almost all men are asurik or demoniac. Therefore, they are very much fond of eating flesh, and for this end, they maintain various kinds of animal slaughterhouses. In this age of Kali, the propensity for mercy is almost nil. Consequently, there is always fighting and wars between men and nations. Men do not understand that because they unrestrictedly kill so many animals, they also must be slaughtered like animals in big wars. This is very much evident in the Western countries. In the West, slaughterhouses are maintained without restriction, and therefore every 5th or 10th year, there is a big war in which countless people are slaughtered, even more cruelly than the animals. Sometimes during war, soldiers keep their enemies in concentration camps and kill them in very cruel ways. These are reactions brought about by unrestricted animal killing in the slaughterhouses and by hunters in the forest. Proud, demoniac persons do not know the laws of nature or the laws of God. Consequently, then they unrestrictedly kill poor animals, not caring for them at all. In the Krishna consciousness movement, animal killing is completely prohibited. One is not accepted as a bona fide student in this movement unless he promises to follow the four regulative principles. No animal killing, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. This Krishna consciousness movement is the only means by which the sinful activities of men in this age of Kali can be counteracted. Asurim vrittim ashritya ghoratma niranugraha nyahanan nishitair banair boneshu vanagocharan. At that time, King Puranjana was very much influenced by demoniac propensities. Because of this, his heart became very hard and merciless, and with sharp arrows he killed many innocent animals in the forest, taking no consideration. So, Narad Muni is telling the story of Puranjana. Puranjana is the living entity, the spirit soul, in the material nature. Puranjana has been described as a king. So every living entity thinks himself to be the king. Not only the king or monarch, every living entity in his own way thinks that he is Krishna. He is the supreme personality, the supreme provider, the supreme controller. He is a tiny little spiritual spark, doesn't have any means or any ability to do anything, but he thinks that he is the supreme controller. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned about the living entity's ability. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. In this material nature, in the prakriti, kriyamanani, everything is happening according to, by the arrangement of guna and karma. Living entity doesn't really have any means to do anything. He's simply a puppet in the hands of guna and karma. There are three modes. There are three modes of material nature: mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And a living entity acts due to the influence of these three modes. And as a result of that, he gets the reactions of his action. Sometimes he acts in the mode of goodness. When one acts in the mode of goodness, the reaction is accordingly. Reaction comes accordingly. That is, the reaction is good. When one acts in a mode of passion, then the reaction is also according to the mode of passion. That is very severe. And when one acts in a mode of ignorance, the reaction is very, very unfortunate. How one acts, how every living entity acts in the mode of, according to the influence of the modes. And it's all guna karma situation. Guna and karma. In Bhagavad Gita, you may have noticed there is a picture how demigods are controlling the living entities, and the living entities are dancing like puppets. And what is, how they're controlling? How does the puppeteer control the puppets? The puppet dancer make the puppet dance? How? With the threads. So gunas and karmas are like the threads with which the demigods are controlling all the living entities, and living entities are dancing like puppets. The puppet is dancing. Does the puppet dance himself? The puppeteer makes the puppets dance. So similarly, the demigods are like the puppeteers. And they are making us, the puppets, dance. Through which arrangement? Gunai karmani sarvasha. According to guna and karma. But ahankara vimuratma, the living entity is becoming completely bewildered by his false ego, ahankara. Kartahamiti mannate, he thinks that he is the doer. Puppet is dancing by the arrangement of the puppet dancer, and he is thinking, what a wonderful performance I am giving. The puppet is thinking, oh, people are clapping. All the clap is my credit. I have danced so well. So one of the first things that an intelligent person must learn or understand, that he is not the doer. He is simply a puppet. But not just a puppet like that. He has one prerogative, one freedom, one independence. He can decide how he is going to act. If he acts in the mode of goodness, the reaction will be good. If he acts in the mode of passion, then the reaction will be passionate. If one acts in the mode of ignorance, then the reaction will be painful. Passion and ignorance, they both actually cause pain. Like in the mode of passion, a person wants to enjoy. He is powerful. A king is in a mode of passion. And he wants to enjoy. He has lots of facilities for enjoyment due to the arrangement of passion, because he acted in the mode of passion. He became the king. He got a powerful body. He got a lot of wonderful arrangements, beautiful queens, not only one queen, many queens, and then concubines and all kinds of things. He has many wonderful arrangements, lives in a big palace, he has a big army, he raised the army. He's enjoying, but then he goes to the battlefield and dies in a battle. That's the mode of passion. You enjoy, and then the reactions of mode of passion is always distressful. Passion and ignorance cause distress. And somebody is in a mode of ignorance. In mode of ignorance, he drinks alcohol, takes intoxication, gets involved in all kinds of abominable activities. And as a result of that, he suffers. He drinks, and drinking, he thinks that now he has become a king. But what actually happened to him? He is rolling in the gutter. Becoming drunk, he fell in the gutter, and he is just lying there. But just before falling there, he was thinking that he became Napoleon Bonaparte. So in this way, passion and ignorance always cause distress. And passion and ignorance interact. From passion, one goes to ignorance, then ignorance to passion, passion to ignorance. They just fluctuate between these two modes. Like for example, we get up in the morning and we become engaged in various activities in the mode of passion. Then at night we become tired and we fall asleep. We go into the mode of ignorance. Then in the morning again we wake up and start acting in the mode of passion. And then again in the evening or at night we go into the mode of ignorance, sleep. So this is how living entities are just going from passion to ignorance, ignorance to passion. But mode of goodness actually takes us away from that. Takes us out of passion and ignorance. And as a result of the mode of goodness, acting in the mode of goodness, one doesn't get into any distressful situation. He enjoys. Like a person in a mode of goodness, he is aloof from all these passionate activities. Like the brahmanas, those who are in the mode of goodness, what they used to do in the past, they used to leave their homes and go to the forest. And in the forest, on the bank of a river, they would make a very beautiful ashram. And they would live there, spending their time thinking about Krishna, meditating on Krishna, serving Krishna, discussing about Krishna. So this is in the mode of goodness. Actually, not exactly in the mode of goodness. Like those brahmanas, they are not really devotees of Krishna. They were involved in activities that would elevate them to the heavenly planets. Karmakanda, generally, those brahmanas. But beyond mode of goodness, there is the pure goodness. That pure goodness is Krishna consciousness. The goodness in the material nature is tinged with passion and ignorance. Some tinge of passion and ignorance is there. But Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, is Krishna consciousness. So, generally people used to transcend in other ages from ignorance to passion, passion to goodness. Like the kings, they would live their kingdom, go into the forest. Like Maharaj Bharat, like Dhritarashtra, so many kings, even Dhruva Maharaj, they left their kingdom and just went to the forest or went to the Himalayas, and there they became absorbed in transcendental activities in the mode of goodness. But in the age of Kali, as Prabhupada said, the age of Kali is predominantly in the mode of ignorance. There is little passion. There is not so much passion. Like the passion means people in the mode of passion means like people like lions, lion-like personalities. They used to be lion-like personalities. Like the kings of India used to be like that. Very, very powerful person. Like one man could fight with 1,000 people. Now it may sound like, how is it possible? But now look at a lion in the forest. Can a lion fight with 1,000 animals? Other animals? Yes. They were so expert, those kings. But nowadays there is no kings. There is only politicians. If kings are compared to the lions, then the politicians can be compared to the jackals. They don't really have that strength of a king. A king will not really go to wait for the vote of the people. A king is not elected. King becomes a king. He takes his sword and says, I am a king. If anybody wants to stop me from becoming a king, please come. and he fights. And in the fight, if he wins, then he gets the kingdom. If he loses, it's described that he goes to the heavenly planets. Either way, he is a winner. But in the age of Kali, there is no room for the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas in the mode of passion were really noble people. And they used to be guided by the Brahmanas. The Varnashram is the perfect system for the human being. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The Brahmanas are in the mode of goodness. Because they're in the mode of goodness, they are not interested in material enjoyment. Material enjoyment is in the mode of passion. Enjoyment for the material sense gratification is a result of passion. So because they're in the mode of goodness, they are not interested in this mundane sense gratification. They would just go away from all these cities and go into the forest or up in the Himalayan mountains, Badrikashram or such places. And there they would spend their time in spiritual activities. So they are the Brahmanas. And then Kshatriyas, those who are in the mode of passion. They're like, because they're in the mode of passion, they're very powerful and they have an intense desire to enjoy this material nature. So nature allowed, the system allowed. Krishna made this arrangement. Okay, you're in the mode of passion, you want to enjoy, go ahead and enjoy. But when you want to enjoy, you have the responsibility of giving protection also. Not just enjoyment and no responsibility. So along with this facility to enjoy comes the responsibility. You have to take the responsibility of the society, manage the society under the guidance of the Brahmanas. Then there is another class of people. They are in the mixed mode of passion and ignorance. Because they're mixed mode of passion and ignorance, they don't have the strength of the Kshatriyas, but they have the desire to enjoy. Therefore, the arrangement has been made that, okay, you supply the needs of the society, cater to the needs of the society, and they are the Vaishyas. And by doing that, you make your profit. You make your money, and with your money, you buy what you want to get. That's the difference between a Vaishya and a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya will not go to the marketplace and buy anything. Kshatriya, whatever he wants, he will say, okay, I want it. And take it. Whether it's a kingdom or whether it's a princess, that's his condition. I want this, like Bhishma. Wanted to get the daughters of Kashiraj. Amba, Ambika and Ambalika, three most beautiful women of that time. He wanted them to be married to his brother, Vichitravirya. And at that time, the princes, they were about to select their own husbands, Swayambara. The Kshatriya girls used to have that prerogative. They could decide, well, I will marry him. So they could actually select their husband like. And they would, so many kings and princes have assembled there. So Bhishma just went there and he declared who he was, said, I am the son of King Shantanu. I hail from the Chandravamsa, the dynasty that comes from moon god, Chandradev. And I have a younger brother who is ascending the throne. And he needs to get married. So I decided these three princes. So I am taking them for my brother. So if anybody wants to stop me, please come forward. And saying that, Bhishma just took these three princesses on his chariot. Just come in, get in. And he got them on the chariot and he confronted all those kings single-handedly, alone. Similarly, Krishna also took Rukmini. It happened with others also, not only with Rukmini, Mitra Brinda also. There was opposition, the kings tried to stop, but Krishna fought. Same thing with Subhadra. Arjun took Subhadra away. So this is a Kshatriya. Or a Kshatriya will go to the king and say that, look, I want your kingdom. So either you become submissive to me or you fight with me. So the king, if he recognizes that, well, he is a nice man, I can become submissive to him. So he surrendered to him and he will maintain his kingdom under his authority, under his sovereignty. But sometimes they would challenge, and in that battle, one person will die. So that is a Kshatriya. He will take whatever he wants by force. And he is so powerful that he can, no one dares to stop him. But at the same time, he gives protection. Not only that he is enjoying, but that those who come under his jurisdiction, he gives them protection. Okay, you surrender unto me and I will give you all protection. So that is a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya will not make arrangements in exchange of money on those days in the Vedic time. But the Vaishyas, they will make money, profit, out of their business. Business, what is business? Business, according to the Vedic understanding, business is the way to cater to the demands of the society, and by doing that, you make your profit. Need is there in the society, so whatever the society needs, you supply. But in the age of Kali, business got another definition. Business is the noble art of cheating people. That's what they're doing. They are not interested in the demands of the society. They're creating an artificial demand. Created by through publicity, through all these, they're making things that people don't really need. But they are making them feel, well, unless you have it, then your life is useless. You don't have a color TV, your life is meaningless. You're still using black and white. You're living in Satya Yuga. Oh, you have a color TV, but it's not a flat bed. What's it called? A flat? Okay. Oh, you don't have a plasma TV. So this is how they are creating artificial demands, artificial need, and then they're catering to those demands. And the Sudras, they are not able to decide for themselves what they want to do. They simply want to work under somebody. Okay, you engage me and just give me my food and shall take care of me, I'll be happy. That's a Sudra. Now, consider this age of Kali. Are there Brahmanas? Are there many Brahmanas or are there any Brahmanas? Only in ISKCON there are some Brahmanas. Prabhupada has created some Brahmanas. Otherwise they are not Brahmanas. They are another species. So, that is, and in the age of Kali there is no Kshatriya. Democracy doesn't allow the Kshatriya. The little semblance of a Kshatriya we find in the mafias. mafia is somewhat, I mean, you can see the Kshatriyas, they are the mafia. The mafias are the only Kshatriyas who are living in this age. The mafias have the code which is very, very close to the Kshatriya code. It's Kshatriya actually. The mafias, they have like, there is a godfather, and you pay him tax and he'll give you protection. And they will fight. They'll even give up their lives sometimes to give protection to you because you are paying him tax. So, unfortunately, in the age of Kali, there is no Brahmana, no Kshatriya, some Vaishyas, and the rest is in the age of Kali, Ashuddha Sudra Kalpahi Brahmana Kali Shambhava. In the age of Kali, even the Brahmanas will become like Sudras. So proud, I am a Brahmana. I am Nair. Or in Andhra, what are the Brahmana titles? Anyway, whatever it is. Bhattacharya. Acharya, and so forth. But what is he doing? He's a software engineer in Microsoft and very proud of his position. I'm a software engineer. In the age of Kali, everyone is practically a sutra. Everyone is working for somebody else. There is such elaborate education system, but what is the goal of this education system? What is the goal of this education system? To get a job. To get a job means nokri. Nokri means nokar banna. Nokar means a servant. Servant means a sudra. So this is the state of affairs in this age of Kali. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore came with a very special arrangement. And that arrangement is Sankirtan. You want a job? Okay, take the job of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are a sudra, become the sudra of Krishna. You want to become a servant, then become the servant of the biggest boss, Krishna. So this is the most wonderful arrangement that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to this age. And by being situated in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we achieve the ultimate perfection of our existence. So I just realized it's 9:10. I have to leave this morning. So I'll just, for about 10 minutes, I'll take questions, answers. Any question?
You celebrated the lion's very prominent name. He also used lion's name, lion's guru.
I see. Okay. That is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Shinga Guru. That's what you meant? Yeah. Thank you. Any other question?
What about sudras?
Well, at least they're pretty qualified. They're sincerely searching for a job. And Srila Prabhupada actually is creating the brahmanas in this society through ISKCON. Not only brahmanas, the super brahmanas, Vaishnavas.
How to effectively transcend the modes?
Yeah. Generally, in other ages, they used to transcend by changing their bodies, birth after birth. Their activities from Sudra's platform would take them to Vaishya platform. A Sudra will not become a Vaishya in this life. Since that was the general condition in other ages. And then from Vaishya he will become a Kshatriya. Then from Kshatriya he will become a Brahmana. But it was a consideration of taking up a whole new beginning, you know, through new birth. But in the age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the transcendental process of chanting Hare Krishna and surrendering unto Krishna. And by doing that, just by doing that, one transcends all modes and comes to the Shuddha Sattva straight away. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inconceivable mercy. Okay, we are acting on a puppet's under modes, or acting as a puppet under the modes. How are we responsible for reactions? Yeah, because you have the independence to decide how you're going to act. You're acting under the modes and you're getting the reactions accordingly. But you have the freedom to decide whether you're going to act for your own sake or you're going to act for Krishna's sake. So if you act for your sake, then yes, you will be responsible for your actions because you are acting for your sake. But if you surrender unto Krishna, then Krishna will take all your karma. Whatever the reactions are for your actions, Krishna will take those reactions, and this is how you become free from the reactions of the modes. My question is on the mode of goodness. There is a stage of pure goodness, and it is known as Vishuddha Sattva, Vasudeva stage. Can you please explain in brief why it is called Vasudev stage? Yeah. Sattam Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam. The mode of pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva, is known as Vasudev. Vasudev means the platform on which Krishna appears. So that's why Vasudev is the father of Krishna. So that Vasudev is Vishuddha Sattva because Krishna manifests himself only in Vishuddha Sattva. That's why this Vishuddha Sattva is known as Vasudev, or you can say father of Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. This side, please.
You can read, okay.
My question is, our Vedic scriptures advise all the four varnas not to go for flesh eating. Was this advice in those ages also? The other three ages?
The Kshatriyas were allowed to eat meat. But generally, the Brahmanas also would take sanctified meat after some Brahmanas, not all Brahmanas. They would partake to sanctified meat after the sacrifice. But the Vaishnavas, those who are devotees of Krishna, they will not indulge in meat eating.
Sir, was there never an age that, let us say, Satyuga, everybody was a devotee of Krishna?
Everybody was not quite devotees of Krishna, but everybody was surrendered to Krishna. Because there are two types, you see. There is Varnashram system and there is Vaishnava platform. Even the sages, not all sages are actually Vaishnavas. They are Brahmanas, but not Vaishnavas. So, even in Satyuga, not that everybody was a devotee of Krishna. You see, but Varnashram is the platform which leads to the devotional platform eventually. The society is generally divided according to Varnashram, right? And that Varnashram system is Daivi Varnashram, generally, submissive or surrendered to Krishna. Everybody may not be a devotee, but say the king is devotee. And the king made arrangements that there will be, spiritual, he is acting under Krishna's direction as Krishna's representative. And he is making the arrangement. There may be Vaishyas, they are running their business, but they are not fully surrendered to Krishna. But they are thinking that by performing pious activities, they will become elevated to heavenly planet, where they will have another kind of enjoyment for a long, long time.
Prabhuji, what about the places where it is not fertile, where we cannot grow crops?
The places, desert.
Desert, etc.
Yeah.
Ice places where
they are desert, yeah.
And we have to...
Yeah, because where people become sinful, when people become sinful, then Mother Earth takes away the food grains from them. That arrangement. Previously, there was no desert. The whole Earth planet was lush and fertile. But it's only recently, because of sinful activities, parts of the world is becoming desert. And the way the world is going, soon the whole planet will become desert. Okay, I will stop now because I have to catch a flight. And who has the mic? You have a question. So anyway, Srivatsa, you also had a question. I'll just take the last one. Anyway, you had a comment actually.
Actually, I just like...
Take the mic.
I like to tell you, Maharaj, my feeling. 89, you came first time Hyderabad.
89 or 87? 89. 89. Oh, 89, right. Yeah.
Chairman of
the
DVC body.
Yeah, right.
And the OTA invited you to come for medical problem.
Right.
And from Delhi, you came along with Prasanna Krishna Prabhu.
Right.
And you have visited only one time, Maharaj. I request your visit shortly.
Next time I come, I'll go to Mitch.
And there is a facility Maharaj is created, and all these devotees, they will also come and stay there. Not very good facility, but some facility can create.
Can you accommodate everybody?
We will try, Maharaj, next year visit. We'll try.
Under the sky.
We'll create some facility, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. Now, I'm sure he will. Srivatsa is a very good organizer. I'm sure he'll have.
Vedanta Krishna Prabhu in life that is, he's coming every year, 3-4 times.
So maybe what we'll do, that we'll go there in the morning and stay there the whole day.
That we are going, Maharaj, but I want you to be one day, one night there.
Okay.
Sure. Vedanta Krishna Prabhu.
Okay, we'll make a plan. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. So I'll just stop now. Hare Bol. Gaur Premanande Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki. And once again, I must thank you all very much for allowing me to have this wonderful time with you all. I had a very nice Krishna conscious experience here. And I'm eagerly looking forward to come back again soon. Hare Krishna.